Good morning. How's everybody this morning? You feel good? You feel great? That's good, because we're going to have a competition this morning. Do we like to compete? You like to win? Everybody likes to win. That's right. Well, today we're going to have a competition. Okay? Now, this is easy. Okay? This is real easy. First thing you will have to do is raise your hand. Okay? Now, you don't have to raise it real high. Just raise it so I can see it. All right? Then, we're going to breathe. Okay? Now, here's the competition. You can breathe in as much as you want, but you aren't allowed to breathe out. When you breathe out, put your hand down because you're out of the competition. Okay? So I don't care if you want to take a great big breath and see how long you can hold it, or if you want to just breathe a little bit, breathe a little bit, breathe a little bit. You can breathe in all you want. You can't breathe out. When you breathe out, you're out of the competition. Put your hand down. So everybody raise their hand. At the count of three, we're going to start this competition. Anybody not understand? You can breathe in as much as you want. When you breathe out, you're out. Ready? Get set. Go. Starting to drop. Keep breathing in as much as you want. Breathe in, don't breathe out. If you breathe out, put your hand down. Still got some that aren't. They're hanging on. Don't breathe out. Breathe in. Keep going. You're already breathed out. That's good. You'll find out. Woo, baby. Some people are turning purple. One, two, three, four, five, six, four, five, six, 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 four, five, 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 five. We're down to five. Keep, come on. Breathe in as much as you want. Don't breathe out. Keep breathing in. Keep breathing in. Man, look at this rolling over here, man. It's him and Glenn. Oh, he just gave out. Glenn's still back here. He fell asleep. He doesn't know if he's breathing or not. All right, Glenn, take him breathe out. My message this morning is entitled, Breathe Out, Breathe In. Now, we've heard people say if you're tense, breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. But see, no matter how much you breathe in, if you don't breathe out, it doesn't help, does it? Why? Well, you might pass out, but why? Tell me the scientific clinical definition of breathing. You're breathing oxygen in, and you're expelling carbon dioxide. Now, which does your body like most? The oxygen, okay? So what happens if you don't dispel the carbon dioxide, what happens? It's toxic to the body, isn't it? You know, and when you think about it, you know, we think about a natural thing of breathing is, well, you know, if you breathe in but you never breathe out, does the breath in help you? Not really, because see, y'all quit. Eventually, y'all had to breathe out in order to breathe some more in, right? Because no matter how much of good oxygen you put in there, if you didn't get rid of the bad stuff out of it, you die. You know? It's like, now how many of you are the household mechanics? There's women too, you know? There's women here that can do household mechanics. My daughter should be raising her hand. She fixes stuff, you know? How many here have ever changed a water faucet? Huh? What do you do? Huh? You shut the water off and you take out the old one first before you put the new one in, right? Right? What if you don't take the old one out first? It's crowded. You never, ever, ever try to put the new one in without taking the old one out, right? Excuse me. I think, oh my, we're going to have trouble today. You know that. Because I'm going to start coughing as I get excited here. Not that I get excited often. But I got a cough drop in, so, you know, I'm okay for right now. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, or it's up here. And Peter tells us something here, and I want you to see the whole aspect of this and how it ties into breathing. Okay? Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Okay? Therefore, putting aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, like newborn babes, long for milk, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Okay? Breathing in, breathing out is a good example of what Peter is talking about here. As you find out, you can breathe in all you want. You can just keep breathing in. But if you don't eventually breathe out, it doesn't help you. You have to get rid of the toxic. And so Peter talks about it here, and he says, we have to get rid of the toxic. Why? Because we're going to bring in something new. If you don't get rid of the old faucet, are you going to put the new one in there? Just think about that. You'd have to drill extra holes in your sink. You'd have two faucets, so whenever anybody came and they wanted a drink, they'd have to use them both to find out which one gave you water. And it'd be awful crowded, too. Right? You know, you think about that. When you take a shower. I don't know if I want to ask this question or not, because I might get some answers. Josh, don't answer this question. When you take a shower and you come out of the shower and you get dried off, how many of you put your dirty clothes back on? Huh? I think Jason said that's true. How many of you come out of the shower, okay, and put your dirty clothes back on? The sweaty, smelly, dirty clothes, right? What do? How many of you, now my neighbor said he does this because it saves him time. How many of you jump into the shower with your dirty clothes on and then just come out and dry off? Why not? The clothes will be clean then, right? That's gross. Okay. So how come we, as newborn babies, what's a newborn baby in the light of the word? What's a newborn baby in the light of the word? A Christian, right? One who has accepted Christ. Okay, are we all newborn babies at one time? And what happens? Then we grow. And it says, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Well, wait a minute. I'm saved. What's the difference if I grow in respect to salvation? Because I'm saved. See, God's expectation is that we grow. Okay? God's expectation is that we get hoopernickio. All right. I got it in there, Jason. Got it in there. We are commanded by God to overcome the world. The Greek word for overcome, and it says in Romans, we are more than conquerors because we overcome the world. We are more than conquerors. The Greek word for overcome is hupernikio. Okay? And it says we overcome with a tremendous victory. It's not just, it's like, I use the example. Pittsburgh played Philadelphia. They had no hupernikio. Philadelphia did. They overcame them with a tremendous victory. Okay? It wasn't just 10 to 11. It was one-sided. And that's what God says we do, is we overcome with tremendous victory when we're serving Him. So let's look at this scripture and see what it says to us. Okay? We take a look at that, and it says that we have to put aside malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. All right. What is malice? Anybody know what malice is? It's not a wooden hammer that you hit things with. That's a mallet. What is malice? Okay. The definition of malice is a disposition to inflict injury, ill will, or hostile act. Intentional harm. Okay? Intentional harm. The disposition to inflict. Okay? That means we want to hurt them. Okay? Our intent is to hurt them. All right? What is deceit? Huh? Lying. Defined as fraud or cheating or tricks tending to deceive. Tending to deceive. We want them to see something different than what is truly there. Does anybody lie? This presidential election is a campaign of lies, isn't it? From both sides, there is deceit. Okay? Hypocrisy. I love the definition word of hypocrisy, okay? A false pretense to personal qualities or principles not actually possessed. A false pretense to personal qualities or attributes, principles that they don't actually. Envy. Oh, everybody knows what envy is, right? What's another word for envy? I heard it. She was speaking it, not very loudly, but she was speaking. But I can read lips. Jealousy. Envy. Envy. Does it mean that we have to be envious of something that's really, really, really big? We can be envious of small things in life, can't we? Can't we? There are so many things that we can be envious of. And the last one he says is slander, which is defined by a defamation by oral utterance. Think about that. Slander is defined by definition by oral. Now, we as Christians would never, ever, ever slander anybody else, right? Especially nobody else that's a Christian. We never talk about anybody. That's called gossip. We don't do that, right? We all agree none of us ever gossip. Anybody's hands working? Did I make you hold them up there too long? Glenn, you and Roland were the only two that really held them up there long. The rest of you shouldn't be tired. Huh? So you look at this, and so Peter says, we have to get rid of this stuff to take on the milk. Take on the milk. All right. How do we take on the milk? I want you to understand. And this is really important. How do we grow in respect to our salvation? Huh? Read the Bible. How else? How else? How else? How else? Nobody's got the key word here yet. You want to come here a minute, buddy? Okay, I'm going to teach you the key word. Tomorrow, this guy is going to be as big as his dad. No? Why not? He's going to be bigger than his dad tomorrow. You're going to be as big as your dad tomorrow, right? You think so? No? It takes time to grow. Thank you. We grow in respect to salvation slowly. Slowly. See? Like newborn babies long for the pure milk. Okay? We don't get saved and already are feasting on a steak. Okay? We don't all of a sudden have a relationship with Jesus Christ and we become like the person that's been a Christian for 30 years. Thank God. Right? It is a slow growth process. It is a slow growth process. And if you've tasted of the loving kindness of God, you have to realize that it's a slow growth process. Okay? Both Christians of short-term tenure and Christians of long-term tenure have to understand this principle. Okay? You know why? Look back at your life. Are you, as a Christian, raise your hand if you can answer this question the way I'm asking it. Are you, as a Christian, exactly the same today as you were 10 years ago? If you are, raise your hand. Do we quit growing as a Christian? Does it happen all of a sudden that you have the same body you had when you were 40? No. He'd like to. I wouldn't, because when I was 40, I was about 420 pounds. So I wouldn't like that. You know? And my knees hurt and everything else. Okay? Anybody here that's over 50 have the same body they had when they were 40? Can you do the same things? Do you want to do the same things? Yeah, we'd like to be able to do the same things. But see, as we grow physically, things change, right? And as we grow spiritually in respect to salvation, should things change in our life? Do we want to do the things? Those of you that have been Christians over 10 years, I said, are you the same as you were 10 years ago? Would you like to be the same as you were 10 years ago? Anybody would like to be the same type of Christian they were 10 years ago? Huh? Why not? We want to hope that we've got to become better and closer to God over the last 10 years as Christians, don't we? We want to hope that we've changed somewhat in our spiritual aspects, that we've grown. That is our desire, to grow. And in order to grow, all these things that Peter talks about, and I want you to understand, it's not just these five things Peter's talking about, okay? He lists these things. But what he's saying is, it's the world that keeps us from growing in respect to salvation. And our focus on the world and our focus on things around us keep us from growing. And, you know, when you look at envy, do we envy things other people have? Sure. Sure we do. Even sometimes when we don't realize it. You see somebody with a nice home, and your home ain't so nice. Do you look at it and say, boy, I wish I had a home like that. You know? I drive down the road and look at these million-dollar homes. And the first thing I say is, I'm glad I don't have that because I wouldn't have any money. Right? See, just because they have a home that's so fancy, does that mean they don't have any problems? Does that mean they don't have any worries? I mean, think about this. those of us that are normal, okay? Those of us that are normal, making less than $1 million a year. Anybody here normal? Making less than $1 million a year. Do we have problems? Now, everybody's up making over $1 million a year. Do they have any problems? Probably more. Think about that. You know, I get absolutely amazed at times when you read the paper and somebody won millions of dollars in the lottery and they're broke. You know? If you had $1 million to start with, how could you be broke in a year? Huh? Don't know how to handle it. That's the key. See, what happens to us in respect to growth and salvation is we don't know how to handle it. We don't know how to handle it. Okay? And we're getting all kinds of information and all kinds of things out there. Is that we have to sift that out and we have to start getting rid of things in order to, for God to give us new things. If I hold on to the same thing, if I take and breathe in 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 and never breathe out, something's going to change in my body, in my life. I'm probably going to pass out. But if we as Christians, if we aren't getting rid of things, how do you expect God to put new things in there? Because think about it. You're still focused on the old things. You're still focused on the old things. So, like I said, it's not just these five. It's that what has to get out of our life in the world's aspect so that we might grow and take in the milk. Okay? How many here have had your six-month-old babies out and you fed them pork barbecue? Huh? Anybody like barbecue pork? I like barbecue pork, you know. Would you just shove that in a 6-month-old mouth? It can't handle it. Yet we as Christians often try to shove our views and values and beliefs into a new Christian's aspect. But hey, wait a minute. Let's talk about us old Christians. Are we still growing? What happens if we quit growing? We become stagnant. And stale. We start to lose the energy. We start to not understand in what God wants. And so when we look at the scripture and we are to long for the pure milk, do we ever get tired of getting milk? How many here don't like milk? I'm sure there are a few people that don't like milk. Okay? Now, to me, okay, I don't drink. I drink milk occasionally, but I don't drink a lot of milk. But you know what? I used to think when I worked on a farm, there was nothing as refreshing as going to the cooler, turning it on, letting it stir up all that milk that was nice and cold in there, and then taking a glass of it and having a glass of milk. You know? How many like to dunk their Oreos in a glass of milk? Why? It's good. It's good. So other than about 3 or 4 people that put up that they don't like milk, we all still like to have a little milk once in a while. And what Peter's telling us is we should always, as Christians, be desiring milk from God. Okay? We eventually get some meat thrown in there, but we should never. See, milk's the little stuff, isn't it? Milk, you know, you give a baby milk because it contains all the nutrients but isn't harsh to them. Unless they have an allergy to milk, then you got to give them soy or something else. But you think about that, is you're giving them what they can handle. We never get done handling the new stuff from God. Okay? As Christians, we should constantly be growing. We should constantly be getting new respects to our salvation. Okay? Hey, we're saved. Okay? Unfortunately, in today's society, that ends right there. I'm saved. Okay, I made it. That's good. Peter says, man, if you really have tasted kindness of God, then you have to keep getting rid of some things, getting rid of the toxic, out with the old toxic stuff, and in with the new milk. Constant, constant, constant. Okay? It doesn't end. It doesn't quit. It doesn't stop. We have not come to a point in our Christian walk that we have made it. Because you know what? When we've made it, we don't have to breathe. We have new bodies. We have new life. And we don't have to breathe. Think about it. See, God gave us the breath for our bodies. Okay? When these bodies are gone, you know, when you die, do you breathe? My daughter used to say she breathed through her ears when she was underwater. You know? When you die, breath stops. The life-giving flow stops in the body. Okay? But as long as you're having breath in your body, what's God's word say? You should be growing. Growing spiritually. Growing closer to God. We never reach the mark. You know, Peter answers that question here. He says, if you've tasted of the kindness of God, you always, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. Okay? It doesn't end. We should always be longing for something new from God's word. We should always be longing for something new in a spiritual realm that is, you know, that we all of a sudden find. Words like hupernikio, you know? Don't worry, I will have a sermon on that someday. You know? Just, it's one of those words in the Greek word that when you say it and you look at it and it's like, man, you know? But when we learn something new, isn't it neat? Huh? How many learned something new this past week? There should be a whole lot of hands like everyone. Why? Did anything this week happen that was different than what happened any other time in your life? Huh? Boy, you lead a dull life if nothing ever changes. Huh? You eat something new. You know, you see something new. My wife and I took a trip with my sister-in-law this week. We went up to see the leaves changing in the Pennsylvania Grand Canyon. We were about a week too early. There were only about 30% change, but there were some that were real pretty. And we went there, and we stopped and saw the lighthouse in Tynesta, you know. Drove 50 miles all the way to see the lighthouse and going to the Grand Canyon, you know. And see that lighthouse up there. I'm one of the ones that I like to read the things and the signs and stuff and know a little history about things and that. But one of the things that we did was we also then when we were on our way home, we swung down to Benazet. How many have been to Benazet? Okay. What's in Benazet? Elk. How many have seen elk in Benazet? Anybody seen elk in Butler? Only if you go to the elk club. Huh? There's elk in Benazet. And my wife said, well, I've never been to Benazet. I've been up there before, you know. I've traveled up to St. Mary's on business. And a lot of times when I drove somewhere on business, I would take a little extra time and just see some of the local stuff and that. But I've been there, so I knew what to expect, okay? So we're going down the road, and we saw an elk, a nice cow, you know, and we saw another elk. And we're going down this back road, this dirt road, you know. And I had told my sister-in-law that I'd drive because I had the all-wheel drive Mariner that I'm not worried about getting on a dirt road. And I'm thinking to myself, if you really want to see something nice, you got to get off the beaten path. You know what I mean? So we're driving down this dirt road, and we saw about 30 elk in a herd. Now, these were out in the woods. They weren't tame elk. Well, they're all tame up here to some extent because they're used to so many people coming. But there were some pretty nice big bulls up there, a lot of yearlings and 2 years and cows and stuff like that. But there were 30 in this herd. And we're sitting there and we're watching them go by, you know, and it's kind of neat. We come down out of town and we drove and there was this huge bull 10 yards from the car, okay? And this is one of the ones that has collar on their neck, so they track them, you know, and this thing's huge. Now, that was my wife's first time. She saw something new this week. She had never seen elk in the wood like that. Okay? You know, you can go to a zoo and see elk. Right? Same thing. Isn't it? Why not? Yeah, you know, you're venturing out to see something new. You're venturing out to see something different. And so that's why I said, if you absolutely had nothing new in your life this week, wow, that's not good. That's not good. How many times have you ever read scripture and you read it and all of a sudden something new pops out? Huh? You ever had that happen? Yeah, read the same scripture over and over and over and over and over and all of a sudden something new pops out and says, oh, wow. God, why didn't you show me that 10 years ago? That made things even easier. We should always be growing and longing for milk. You know, it's good to have steak. For those of you that like steak. But you know, you still need that milk of the Word. And that's what Peter's saying here. Is we need that word, milk. When you look at the scripture in the context, if you've tasted of the kindness of the Lord, if you've been touched by the love of our Lord and Savior, you will never, ever be satisfied with what you have right now. You'll want more. And that's what Peter's telling us. Don't get satisfied with where you're at. Okay? You know, I'm different than I was years back as a Christian. I have different views and different ideas and different thoughts. He's changed some of my beliefs, even. I'll say doctrine, not beliefs. Okay? He's changed some of my doctrinal understanding over the years. I'm just no longer exactly the same. But the thing is, if I don't keep longing for something new from God's Word, if I don't keep longing for something new out of the preaching and out of the praying and out of the encouragement and testimony of others, if I'm just satisfied right where I am with God, guess what? You digress. If you train for an event, okay? Joe's a hunter. Now, Joe hunts differently than most of us do, okay? I want you to understand that. Joe, do you do any training to hunt? What do you do? Okay, how many of you hunt or have hunted in your lifetime? How many have archery hunted? Okay, how many of you use a longbow? How many know what a longbow is? Anybody know what a longbow is? Okay, how many of you use that to hunt with? Why not? Huh? It's hard. You got one with the recurve. I've done that. When I started hunting, we didn't have compounds and stuff like that. Okay, all we had was recurves and longbows and stuff like that. But see, why does Joe hunt with a longbow? Huh? For the challenge. See, in order to be great for God, we have to be challenged. Do you want to be great for God? You know? Do you really want to be great for God? Okay, we already know God is great, right? When? And all the time. But are we great for God? How do we be great for God? Doing His will, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? That we are put here to glorify God? So if we bring glory to God, does that make us great for God? Right? You know, if we want to be great for God, we got to work at it. Okay? Joe doesn't take his longbow. You know, I can do this with my crossbow. I can go out and shoot one shot and make sure my scope is good at 30 yards and say, all right, that's enough for this year. It's like a rifle, you know? I can go out with my rifle, and if it's sighted in, I know my skill level is good enough that I can still do it, okay? But if I tried to go hunting with a longbow right now, guess what? Huh? I'd miss the deer. I might even miss the woods. You know? You have to work at it to get better. And we have to work at being Christians to get better. Okay? We have to work at it. And so Peter's saying is, there's a whole lot of stuff that is there. Is it there because we want it to be there? No. Why is it there? Well, because of Satan, but why is it there? Come on. Rick, what were you going to say, Rick? Oh, okay. Why is it there? Why is it there? What are you? What else are you? Oh. Are you a sinner by birth? Huh? Did you choose to be born a sinner? Did your mom and dad choose for you to be born a sinner? See, that choice happened long, long time ago. So guess what, folks? We're all in the same boat. Okay? We're all sinners by birth. So why is that stuff there? Because it's naturally inherent into our lives, right? As part of sin. Aren't those part of the fruits of sin? Right? And see, are you saved? Yes? You sure? How do you know? You ask God into your heart. Is she saved? Why? Because she believed. She asked God into her heart. Right? Right? This question's harder now. Are you a sinner? Why? You ask God into your heart. Do we stop being a sinner because we ask God into our heart? If we did, Peter wouldn't have to write something like this, right? Because, you know, really, are we going to talk to Christians and say, hey, you got all this bad stuff in you? How many of you have been a Christian longer than 10 years? How many still have some bad stuff in them? I have bad stuff in me. I have stuff that still needs work. You know why? Because I'm still breathing in and breathing out. And so what Peter wants us to understand is we never, ever, ever get to the point that we should stop desiring the true milk of the Word. We need to always desire the true milk of the road. True milk of the Word so that we can grow in respect to salvation. Yeah, salvation happens one time and you're saved. But it doesn't end there. As a Christian, you should be changing all the time. All the time. And if you really want to be, what Peter's showing us is a Christian that is effective, then you're growing. You're growing. And that's what God wants us to understand. We all have things in our life that we struggle with. We all have things in our life that we haven't got rid of yet. We all have things in our life that need changed. And God says, don't ever stop growing spiritually. Because if you stop growing spiritually, that's when it won't change. But see, if you continue to feed on the milk of the Word, guess what? Those things start to change. Are they all going to go away completely? Probably not. Why? Because we're sinners by birth. Okay? We're aliens to the spiritual aspect of God. We are not born into the kingdom of God until we make a choice. Then we are. Okay? We're born into a world that is overcome with sin. We are overcome with sin. So, if you're a young Christian today and you're struggling with something, hey, guess what? God will help you. If you're an old Christian today and you're struggling with something, guess what? God will help you. And if you're somewhere in between and you're struggling with something today, guess what? God will help you. Because he says as we long for him, he will continue to help us to grow. We don't grow stagnant. We were on our trip, we went past the pond, and I said, anybody want a drink? And this pond was covered with green scum. I said, anybody want a drink at? No. But I said, you know what? The creek that flows into it, being up there in the mountains, the creek that flows into it might be perfectly clear. Something at the end of the channel is creating the green scum. If we're struggling with something this morning and we say, God, you know, I just don't understand. Why is this perplexing me? Why is this always coming back to haunt me? Why is this keeping me from, you know what? Why did the pond get green scum on it? It sat still for too long. Okay? A mountain creek flowed down into the pond. But guess what? I didn't see anything flowing out. And so it sat very, very still. Was it always getting fresh water into it? Every time it rained, every time, you know, if it rains, it's getting water into it, right? But why didn't the scum go away? It became stagnant and still. And if we as Christians become stagnant and still in our growth, guess what happens? We're like the scum. We get scum on us. And then guess what other people see first? None of us thought about, hey, what's the water like underneath that scum? All we saw was the scum on top. And see, that's what happens as Christians sometimes. We look at one another and we see the scum, but we, you know, what's going on? What else is going on? What's going on in their life? And how can we help them? You know, guess what? We need to help them start moving again. If I took that pond and I dug a ditch so the water would run out, it might be empty, but it wouldn't have that scum on it, would it? It has to go somewhere. And so if you want to grow for God, you got to take the things that he shows you and start to displace them with what? Good things. Good things. Let's stand. If you're struggling this morning with something in your life, whether you be a young Christian, old Christian, medium Christian, big, tall, small, doesn't matter what kind of Christian you are. If you're struggling with something, God says, I want to take care of it for you. I want to help you. I want to give you hupernikio. I want to help you overcome that issue. That's the only way we can overcome those issues in our life, is through Jesus Christ. Through growing in respect to our salvation. Through getting to be more like Him. And we never, ever stop. Because if we stop, we become like the scum in the pond. It's undesirable, doesn't look good, and it's not healthy for anybody. If you have a need this morning, the altar is open. We'll pray with you. If you want to pray right there in your seat, if you have a need this morning, you're wrestling with something and you say, God, I really need your help. We'll pray for you. But if you got that pond scum laying there because you haven't been growing, God wants to help you to grow. He wants to give you the new milk. He wants to help you to understand His Word. He wants to help you understand that life isn't perfect. Doesn't always go exactly as we want it to go, but I'm in charge. I'm still in charge. And if you desire the new milk, I will give you new milk. So as we pray this morning, if you would like to come forward, come. If you have a need, and we will gather with prayer with you. But whatever it is this morning, take on as a newborn babe the milk of the Word of God. And it'll help us display some of those things that we're not happy with. Some of those things we see and we say, God, you know, I just don't want this anymore. I won't deal with this anymore. God, I want to get rid of this once and for all. I want to be like you. Because see, there are times in our life that we have that. There's times in our lives that there's things in our life that we see and we know that they're keeping us from being more like God. We just don't know what to do with it. I'm telling you, give it to God. That's the only way you get over it. Give it to God. Let God deal with it. Let God have His timing. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask Reverend Bartmus to close in prayer this morning. But if you have a need while Reverend Bartmus is praying, come on up and I'll have the elders and deaconesses gather around and pray. Walk out here this morning saying, this week I will learn something new in the kingdom of God. I'm not going to be the same. Next Sunday when I come back, I'm not going to be the same as I am going out today. That I'm going to look for some new milk. I'm going to look for something new from God. I'm going to look for God to touch me this week in a different way.